As I walked through the wilderness of this world, I lighted upon a familiar place where was a den. And as I laid me down in that place to sleep, I dreamed again a dream. I dreamed, and behold, I saw a woman clothed with rags standing in the door of her home. Her face was turned away from her own house, and her eyes looked with great longing across a distant, wide, wide field. And as she looked, she wept and trembled.
Oh, my husband, my poor dear husband, how I have treated thee in a most vile manner. Oh, woe to me that I have driven thee away by my evil words and still more evil actions. And all the greater is my sorrow in that now I believe thy words. This city is indeed doomed to destruction. Oh, that I had fled this place with thee. Then might I have had thy brave companionship to guide me and our little ones to yonder celestial city. But now, oh, lost am I, and upon my hands I bear the blood of my little ones, who but for my example might have gone on with their father.
Now there entered in her four sons, who, perceiving her to be in tears, asked what might be the matter.
Oh, my sons, we are all undone.
Oh, my mother dear, dost thou weep again?
Yes, again, and that more than before.
But mother, father hath been gone of a long time. Why doth our grief not grow dim, as with others who have lost one well-beloved?
Because I have sinned him away by my evil treatment of him. For such as I, the grief only grows greater with the passing of time.
Oh, mother, what can I say to console thee?
Nothing. He is gone. And that which makes my sorrow all the greater is that I kept you boys from following on with him when he did beg you to join him. Thy blood be upon my hands.
I don't see any blood, Mama.
Though you see it not, yet the redness of the stain doth haunt my every moment.
Can you not wear mittens?
Nay, for stains such as mine will show through any disguise. Oh, woe is me! Woe, woe, woe!
Mother, let us put off all this weeping and be gone after him.
Yea, let us fall to packing our clothes.
Nay, nay.
Say thee not nay, Mama. If we hurry, we may even now perchance catch up to him.
What think you, Mother Fair? Might we up and away after our beloved father?
No, 'tis too late, too late. Oh, that we had gone with him in the day of his merciful invitation. Then had it fared greatly better with us than it is ever like to do now.
But why then did we not go after him? Would it not have been easier to follow after him then than now?
Yes, yes, much easier. But in my carnal reasonings, methought him to be caught up with foolish imaginings, or to be overcome by depression of spirit. But now it comes to my mind that he had his eye fixed upon a fairer land. He has beheld the kingdom of light, and by beholding, he has become changed. He has entered the narrow pathway and thereby escaped the snares of death.
Oh, Mama.
Our poor dear father.
How we did rudely behave toward him, who was only trying to lead us to a better land. What think you, Mother? Is there hope for our souls?
I know not, dear son. I know not.
Oh.
Now I saw in my dream that Christiana slept the fitful sleep of the lost, and in her tossings there came to her a dream. And behold, she saw as if a broad parchment were opened before her, in the which were recorded the total sum of all her ways. And as she looked, she saw that she must soon come to the judgment bar of God to answer for her evil treatment of his friend. Therefore did she cry out,
mercy upon me, a sinner.
What's that?
Go thee back to sleep. 'Tis only our dear mother having another nightmare.
Oh, another one?
Aye. She cannot sleep for thinking of her evil treatment of him. And to be the more honest, neither can I.
And neither I. What think you, Matthew? Might we yet redeem the time and be off after him?
I know not, Joseph. I wish it might be, but since we did partake of the evil, I see no reason that the Lord of that country should look upon us with any favor.
Neither do I. Sleep tight.
Oh, how I wish I could.
I saw next that Christiana had yet another dream, wherein she thought she saw two evil spirits stand at the foot of her bed and speak thus.
Did you hear her cry out for mercy?
Hear her? It sent chills down my spine. Yeah, it was like to have sent me packing back to our master.
I had thought to do the same, but I fear the wrath of he who with his tail pulled down a third of us from heaven.
As well you might, but back to this woman.
Well, if she be suffered to go on like this, crying out for mercy, both waking and sleeping, we shall lose her as we lost her husband.
Aye, and if she once be gotten off on pilgrimage, it may be that Apollyon himself may not be able to stop her.
Therefore we must, by one way or another, seek to take her mind from the thoughts of what shall be hereafter. If we fail in this, there is nothing in all the world that can stop her from becoming a pilgrim.
And if that come to pass,
our master will deliver us to the inquisitors, who will wring out of our burning throats many a wail and scream.
Therefore, we must call for reinforcements and enclose her with darkness all round about.
Aye, let us call for a legion.
Or two, or ten, for she must not escape us.
She shall not. Or, if she do set out on pilgrimage, we shall attack her virtue and thus send her packing back.
As we did the children of Israel at the borders of Canaan land.
Aye. And I warrant you that, lonely as she be, our good affections would not be rejected.
Aye.
Oh, mercy! Lord, Lord, forgive me my ways.
Thus did she awake in a great sweat. Also, there was a violent trembling upon her, but after a time she fell once again into a fitful sleep. And then she thought she saw Christian, her husband, in a place of bliss among many immortals. He stood with a harp in his hand and played upon it before one that sat upon a throne, with a rainbow about his head. She saw also, as if he bowed his head with his face to the paved work that was under the prince's feet, and said,
I heartily thank my lord and king for bringing of me into this place.
Then shouted a company of them that stood round about and harped with their harps, but no man living could tell what they said but Christian and his companions. Next morning, when she was up and had prayed to God and talked with her children a while, one knocked hard at the door, to whom she spake out, saying,
If thou comest in God's name, come in.
Amen.
Greetings, good sir.
Peace be unto this house.
I thank thee, sir.
Christiana, knowest thou wherefore I am come?
No, sir.
My name is Secret. I dwell with those that are on high.
Oh, I fear to meet one from a place so goodly as that.
Fear not, dear Christiana, for I am come to bring thee good tidings of peace.
Say on.
It is spoken of, among those that dwell in heavenly places, that thou hast a desire to go thither.
Aye, if only I thought there were yet hope for one so vile as I.
It is also reported that thou art aware of the evil that thou hast formerly done unto thy husband.
Aye, more than I can bear.
And that thou seest how thou hast hardened thy heart and kept these thy little ones in their ignorance.
Aye, my heart doth sink within me at the thoughts thereof. Oh, hope, hope! Oh, that I had but one small pinch of hope!
Christiana.
Yes?
Wouldst thou indeed have hope?
Yea, I desire it with all my soul. For if I find it not, I am doomed to sink beneath the waves of despair.
Then hear the word of the Lord.
Say on, dear messenger.
Christiana, the merciful one hath sent me to tell thee that he is a God ready to forgive, and that he taketh delight to multiply the pardon of offenses.
Even unto such a one as I?
Yea, verily.
Oh, bless him! Bless him!
He also would have thee know that he inviteth thee to come into his presence to feast at his table.
Oh?
Yea, he longeth to feed thee with the fat of his house and with the heritage of Jacob thy father.
Oh, such words be too high for me.
There, when thou shalt arrive at that place, shalt thou find Christian, thy husband that was, with legions more who are his companions.
Oh!
There he and all of heaven shall be glad when they shall hear the sound of thy feet over thy father's threshold.
Oh, thy words do make me hopeful above measure.
I have something more than words for thee.
More yet?
Aye, here.
A letter?
Aye, from thy husband's king. Here, take it.
From the king? To me?
Aye.
Sweet perfume such as a rose would covet to bear. May I open it?
Yes.
Oh, it be writ in letters of gold.
Mm-hmm.
The king of the celestial city doth invite thee, Christiana, to go on pilgrimage as did thy husband. For that is the way to come to my city and to dwell in my presence with joy forever. Oh, did you hear? 'Tis a royal invitation to join my husband at the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Aye, wilt thou accept?
Oh, yea, verily, with all my heart.
Then I shall return to my king with glad tidings.
Sir, carry me and my children with you, that we also may go and worship this king.
Christiana, the bitter is before the sweet.
Ah.
Thou must enter the celestial city through troubles, as did he that went before thee.
Then what do I next?
Do as did Christian, thy husband. Go to the wicket gate over yonder plain, for that stands in the beginning of the way which thou must go.
I shall.
I further advise thee to put this letter into thy bosom and read it to thyself and thy children until you have learned it by heart.
I shall, dear secret. I shall.
This is one of the songs that thou must sing to cheer thee by the way. Also, thou must deliver this invitation in at the farther gate if you would gain admittance thereat. And now I must go. I hope to see thee on the farther shore. Adieu, Christiana.
Farewell, good messenger. Rest assured that we shall meet again. Aye, we shall meet again. And that right soon. Boys! Boys, come quickly.
What is it, Mother?
It's all well?
Yes, well, and more than well. Look!
What is it, Mama?
Tis a letter, Sillyhead.
I know tis a letter, but what doth it say?
Tis an invitation from the King of Kings. We are invited to go on pilgrimage as did your father.
Can it be? After the way we treated him?
Yea, look for thyself.
The king of the celestial city doth invite thee, Christiana, to go on pilgrimage, as did thy husband.
Is it not wonderful? Is it not? Oh, me! Oh, me!
Weep not, dear mother. This be good news.
I know, my son.
And why do you weep?
It is the nature of womankind thus to do when they are overflowed with joy.
What did she say?
She's crying because she's happy.
Oh, why?
That's just the way ladies do.
Oh, why?
I don't know why. Only girls know why.
Oh.
Mother, this be news greatly to be rejoiced over.
Yea, more than you know. For the thoughts of how I have hardened both my heart and yours against your father. Oh, they had liked to have carried me with sorrow to the grave. But I had a dream of hope last night. And then there comes this letter from heaven itself to give me more hope. Ah, lads, you cannot know the joy that fills my soul.
Three cheers for the king. Hip, hip.
Hurrah!
Hip, hip.
Hurrah!
Hip, hip.
Hurrah!
Hurrah! Come, my children. Let us be packed up and gone to the gate that opens toward the celestial country.
Yes.
Hurrah!
If we are faithful pilgrims, we shall see your father and be with him forever, according to the laws of that land.
Yay! Hurrah!
And so they busied themselves with preparations to be gone.
Will I need my walking boots, Mama?
Yes, and a warm coat as well.
But as they were packing, there came a knock at the door. Now without were two neighbors come to seek out the cause for such joyful shouting. For I must inform thee that in the city of destruction, though there be much laughter, there is precious little joy. Now their names were Mrs. Timorous and Mercy.
If you come in God's name, come in.
What did she say?
I cannot tell. Knock again.
If you come in God's name, come in.
Did you hear? In God's name, she said. Aye.
Dare we enter?
Well, I suppose we can enter in God's name as well as the next. Open the door.
Greetings, neighbor Timorous.
Good day.
Hello, Mercy.
Good day, madam.
Pardon if I do not stop to entertain me, for I must be off on journey this day.
What? So late in the day?
Aye, 'tis true that I should have been at this journey long ere this. But late is better than never.
And where will your journey take you?
I do follow in the steps of my dear husband.
What? On pilgrimage?
Aye.
Oh, I hope not so, good neighbor. Pray for your own good. Take not such risks as that.
I care not for this mortal flesh. If I can only see the face of him that sitteth upon the throne.
Well, then, for thy poor children's sake.
Nay, but we will all go. Hip, hip.
Hurrah!
Hurrah!
As you see, dear neighbor Timorous, there be not one willing to stay behind.
Well, what on earth has brought you into such a mind as this?
Oh, dear friend, did you but know as much as I, you would be with us in a flash.
And what new knowledge is this that will separate thee from thy neighbors and send thee packing to who knows where?
As thou dost know, I have been sorely afflicted since my husband's departure from me.
Aye.
And especially so since he went over the river.
Certainly, 'tis natural to grieve over a loved one passed away.
But that which grieved me the more was my wicked behavior towards him while he was under his deep conviction.
Bah, 'twas a distracted brain from which he suffered.
Nay, but conviction from God. And that same conviction doth now press itself upon me.
Oh, no.
And nothing will ease my mind but to follow after.
Oh, woe the day.
Moreover, I was a-dreaming last night that I saw him.
Saw him?
Yes, in my dream. Oh, that my soul was with him. He dwelleth in the presence of the king of the country. He sits and eats with him at his table. He has become a companion of immortals and has a house that maketh the best palaces on earth to seem but as a dunghill.
What?
'Tis so. And the prince of the place has also sent for me with promises of hospitality if I shall come to him. His messenger was here but only a moment ago.
You mean that distinguished gentleman we saw departing your door?
Yes, the same.
You say he brought you words of invitation.
More than words. He has brought a letter from the Lord of the Hill.
A letter?
Yes. Look. It smells heavenly.
Shush, Mercy. This is a serious matter.
Look. It be writ in letters of gold. Do read it, please.
The king of the celestial city doth invite thee, Christiana, to go on pilgrimage as did thy husband. And do you believe this to be genuine?
Yea, with all my heart.
Oh, the madness that hath possessed thee and thy husband to run yourselves upon such difficulties. Certainly you must have heard Obstinate's report of the difficulties that did attack him at his very first setting out.
Yea.
And surely Pliable's report of the deadly slough is known unto thee.
Aye.
And everyone has heard how that he met with lions, Apollyon, the shadow of death, and many other things, not to mention Vanity Fair and its inquisitors.
Aye.
Well, if his companion was killed there, and he, a man, scarcely escaped with his life, what canst thou, being but a poor woman, do?
Well, I trust that he that hath called me will transform his commands into enablings.
Bah, sheer imaginings. But at least consider these young ones, thy very flesh and bone. Surely the rash imaginings that compel thee to risk life and limb are not so strong as to put these children in danger.
Nay, but leave off to tempt me, for we have an invitation to trade this mortal life for a life which measures with the life of God. And I should be more than a fool if I should give in at the mere mention of dangers. Yea, the very listing of them makes me to realize the greater value of the prize.
But life is so easy here beside this fine highway.
Because this house borders on the broad way that leadeth to destruction.
But the path of every pilgrim is different. Who knows but that thou wilt meet with dangers greater than thy husband's?
Having waited so long, it may be so that the work that could have been done in relative peace and safety will now have to be done under more difficult circumstances. But the bitter must come before the sweet, and the more bitterness endured, the more sweetness enjoyed.
But...
And now, since you came not to my house in God's name, as I said, I pray you to be gone, and not to disquiet me further.
Well, if thou be determined to play the fool, and cast thyself into the jaws of death, so be it. I am clear of thy blood. Come, neighbor Mercy. Well, what be the catch, girl?
If my dear neighbor must indeed be gone, I will go a little way with her, and at least be of some small help to her. Besides, if these things be so, how can I help but to go with her? I will have more talk with this Christiana and see wherein the truth lies.
Mercy, are you with us?
Yes, neighbor Timorous.
Well?
Since Christiana is taking her last farewell of home and country, I think I shall walk with her a little ways to help her on her way.
Help her? The only way you can help her is to try to talk her out of this madness.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, just be careful that thou fall not into her same distractions. While we are out of danger, we are out. But when we are in, we are in.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, then, here, take thy foolish letter, and I bid you adieu. Bitter before the sweet, indeed. Foolish woman is like that.
Now I saw in my dream that by this time, Christiana, with her children, was got on her way, and Mercy went along with her. Their conversation began thus.
Ah, Mercy, what an unexpected favor this is, to have you join me a little way in my journey.
If the truth be known, I should like to go more than but a little way.
What? Go on pilgrimage?
Aye. If I thought there was any hope for me, I would never return to destruction again.
Well, Mercy, do cast in thy lot with me. I well know what will be the end of our pilgrimage. Indeed, my husband would not trade his inheritance for all the gold in the Spanish mines.
But I fear I shall be turned away.
Nay, such a thing the prince of that land doth never do.
But I was not invited.
Thou goest upon my invitation. Besides, he hath said himself, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Did he not have thee in mind as he spoke these words?
I would fain to hope so, but...
But what?
There have been many girls by that name.
Aye, and all that were true to their name obtained mercy too.
Besides, I can hire thee as my servant, and so get you through. We will go as sisters, all things in common. Only set thy mind to go with me, and look not behind.
Oh, I want to. If only I could know that I would be accepted. If I could hear it in a dream or by a visit, then I would go on, no matter how tedious or dangerous the way.
Well then, loving Mercy, do this. Go with me to the wicket gate, and there I will further inquire for thee. And if there thou dost not meet with ample encouragement, I will let thee return. Besides that, I shall pay thee wages for thy good service. What think thee?
Methinks I will accept of thy advice. Whatever befalls, I must at the least give it a try.
Good girl, thou shalt have no cause of regret.
May the Lord of that place grant it to be so.
Then was Christiana glad at her heart, not only that she now had a companion, but also for that she had prevailed with this poor maid to fall in love with her own salvation. So they went on together. After a time, Mercy began to weep.
Wherefore weepest, my sister, so?
Alas, who can help but weep when one thinks about the loved ones and friends who remain behind in yonder doomed city? Mother, father, and dear Mariana in the nearby town of Stupidity. And what makes grief the more bitter is knowing that they have no true pastor, nor any to tell them what is to come upon them.
Ah, Mercy, thy compassion shows thee to be a true pilgrim. Thou dost weep for thy friends as my good Christian did for me. But his Lord and ours did gather up his tears and put them into his bottle. And now both I and thou and these my sweet babes are reaping the fruit and benefit of his prayers.
Indeed, doth the Lord of that place behold even our tears?
Yea, he hath said in his book that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy, in singing. And he that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him.
Oh.
Therefore take heart, dear Mercy. Surely God will hear thy prayers for thy loved ones.
Oh, I hope so.
Mama, look. Oh, no.
What?
'Tis the Slough of Despond.
Oh, my. I have heard tell of this mucky place.
Aye, 'twas here that my dear husband had like to have been smothered with mud.
And must we truly cross over this place?
Aye, there be no other way.
But I thought that the king had commanded that this slough should have a better walkway built for pilgrims.
As I understand it, so he did command. But there are many who pretend to be servants of the king, who bring to their work sticks and stubble, dirt and dung rather than solid stones. It appears that their false labors have made this place worse rather than better.
Oh, what to do? What to do?
Do we have to go back, Mama?
I know not, child.
I hope not. All my friends will mock me.
Has not the Lord invited thee?
Aye.
Surely. He would not invite thee without providing a way to conquer this place of despondency.
It would seem to be so.
Then let us venture forward. It may be that the way will open as we step into the waters.
Then we must choose to believe. Matthew.
Mother?
Loan me of thy staff called Faith. I shall use it to feel for the steps that are unseen.
Here, Mother.
Mother?
Son?
Remember that Father was told to keep his eye on yonder light when traversing difficult places.
Yes, I remember now. Then must we do the same. Eyes on the light, everyone. And now, forward.
Now I saw that just beneath the surface of the mire, there were certain steps, sure and substantial, which they found with their staff. Thus they went on before, finding their way by faith.
Matthew, hold thy little brother's hand and guide his steps onto the stepping stones.
Yes, Mother.
My, look at the size of these leeches. roaches and water snakes.
Look not upon them, dear sister. They will...
Oh.
I've got thee, Mercy. Come. Back onto the steps.
Oh. Thank you, Matthew.
You're welcome.
What happened?
Thou didst nearly slip off the step.
But why?
Because for a moment thou didst take thy eyes off of the light. Learn by this mistake, all of you. That light is truly a lamp unto our path. And now, forward.
Mother, wait! I am got behind and cannot see the next step.
Oh, no!
Follow in our footsteps.
I cannot, for the mire hath covered them over again. It doth all look the same.
Mother?
I know not what to do. Oh, why did we rush ahead of him so?
Joseph?
Yes?
Look to the light.
All right.
Now step ahead.
But I know not where are the steps. Which direction?
Towards the light.
But how shall I direct my feet?
Thy Lord shall direct thy feet. Only look to the light.
Well, all right, all right. Here goes.
Good, Joseph. Is it solid?
Aye.
Step again.
Where?
Always towards the light.
Well, all right. Here goes.
Step again.
All right. Here goes.
Good, Joseph. Good, good, good.
He be caught up, Mother. Shall we go forward?
Aye, forward. Thank you, Mercy.
Welcome, ma'am.
My, would you look at those ugly leeches and...
Mother!
Son?
Repeat not Mercy's mistake.
You are right, my son. There is time enough to look at monsters from the far shore. Forward, pilgrims!
And so, in process of time, they got them to the other side. Then there came a voice which said,
Blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord.
Did I hear a voice?
I did.
And I?
Then how glad I am that we went forward.
Indeed, if I had as much ground to believe as you have, I think that no slough of despond would have brought me to a standstill.
Thou dost chide me for my faithlessness, but I trow that we shall both be tested upon our weakest points ere ever we come at our journey's end.
Indeed?
How can it be any other way? Thinkest thou that those who hate us will let us pass freely from death to life? Nay, but I trow that they shall tempt us with all the fears and afflictions that evil ones know all too well how to apply.
The bitter before the sweet?
Aye, and seeing that the peace and happiness we seek is so great, how can it be otherwise?
Now, having gotten over the slough by faith and by beholding the light, they journeyed on until they came to the great gate that stands at the head of the way. Here they began to debate about what to do next.
Whoa!
Some gate, eh, James?
Aye, but it has no latch pull on this side. How shall we enter?
Let us call out for help. Hey!
No, that is not the proper way.
Well, how do you know?
Look over the gate.
Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Well, that sounds simple enough.
Aye, but who shall do the knocking?
Your mother is the eldest, and it is upon her letter and dreams that we all hope to gain entrance. Therefore, I move that she knock and gain admission for the rest of us.
All right. No answer.
Try again, and louder.
Still no answer.
I hear a big dog.
A big dog?
It sounds to be just within the gate.
Did Father meet with such a fierce dog when he came?
I heard that he met with many fiery arrows from yonder castle, but I recall nothing about a dog so fierce as this one sounds to be. Oh, I'd be greatly tumbled up and down in my mind what to do. I fear to knock because of the vile cur, and yet we dare not return, lest the keeper of the gate should pronounce us unworthy servants. Oh, what to do?
I'm afraid. Let's go back.
Nay, we cannot.
But certainly we cannot think to spend the night here on the hillside.
What saith the sign over the door?
Knock, and it shall be opened unto you.
Wait!
What is it?
There comes flashing into my mind this thought, that those who defer obedience till every shadow of uncertainty disappears, and there remains no risk of failure or defeat, will never obey at all.
An inspired thought, this.
Then I say we go forward, for it comes into my mind that the path where God leads the way may lie through the desert or the sea, but it is a safe path.
Aye, let us believe the promise of him who sent the words of gold. Let us knock again.
Hip, hip,
hurrah!
I shall not be driven back by mere noise in my ears when my eye can behold the promise of God. Wretched hound! Matthew!
Mother!
Thy staff in my hand, please.
Here you are.
Thank you. Now we shall apply some faith to this problem. Wretched hound!
Away, vile cur! Who goes there?
He answers. Oh my, is my appearance worthy?
As best can be expected for a traveling woman. And I?
The same. Here, Mercy, hold the staff. Now stand thee back a bit.
Who is there?
Weary pilgrims, seeking the heavenly country.
Then enter thou in, madam.
Dear sir, let not my lord be offended with his handmaidens for knocking so rudely at thy gate.
Nay, not at all. For from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force.
Ah, then I need not be ashamed.
Nay, God is well pleased to have his pilgrims attack his kingdom with faith and expectation of answer. But do tell, whence come ye, and what is it that ye would have?
We are come from whence Christian came, and upon the same errand as he.
Which?
To be admitted into the way that leads to the celestial city.
Ah, and what be thy name?
My name be Christiana. I was once the wife of Christian that is now gotten into heavenly places.
What? Is she now become a pilgrim that once did mock and deride God's chosen one?
Aye, thanks only to the tender mercies of God. And these, my sweet babes, are come also.
Well, blessings upon you. Blessings. Do come in. Come in, boys. Come in. Glad we are to have you. Oh, come in, little one. Come in.
Thank you, sir.
Here, let me shut the gate now.
But... oh, no.
Servant.
Sir.
Call the musicians. Tell them to make a joyful noise upon their instruments. Let this dear woman and her sons feel a small taste of the joy that now doth fill the heavenly places. Have also thy companions join thee in the choir, and make this place to ring.
Yes, sir, gladly.
Now all this while poor Mercy did stand without, trembling and crying, for fear that she was rejected. But no sooner had Christiana gotten admittance for her family than she began to make intercession for Mercy.
My lord, I have a companion of mine that stands yet without.
Indeed?
Yes, sir. She is much dejected in her mind because I was invited upon this way by word and pen, but she comes only upon my word. Please, good sir. Oh!
is my friend.
Well, then we must let her in.
Ah, she be all fallen down in a faint. Oh, poor dear. She was afraid that the gate would not be opened unto her. Mercy, Mercy, tis I, your friend Christiana.
Here, let me take her hand. Damsel, I bid thee arise.
Oh, sir, I am faint. There is scarce life left in me.
Oh, one would not have known it to judge from the vigor of thy knocking.
I was afraid you might not hear.
No fear for that. In this place, we hear the faintest knocking of the weakest child. Yet we are well pleased when someone makes these doors to quiver as thou hast done. Come, I shall help thee up.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Now, pray tell, dear one, wherefore didst thou fear?
I feared that I was presumptuous.
For why?
Because I seek to enter a kingdom to which I was not invited.
What? Not invited?
No, sir. Christiana hath had dreams and visitors, even a letter all written gold. But I have my invitation only upon her word. That, sir, is why I fear. And when I was left without, why, my fears did seem confirmed. And when I heard the trumpets blowing for my companions and not for me, I thought, oh, surely I'm left behind and lost. And then when there was a delay, oh, every minute did seem like an hour. Yet I resolved to obey the words over the door and make one last attempt upon the kingdom of heaven before I should faint for fear.
Oh, wherefore didst thou fear, O thou of little faith?
What?
Knowest thou not that an invitation from one of the king's subjects is regarded here as if coming from the king himself?
Indeed?
Yea.
Then there is grace and forgiveness to spare?
Aye, there is grace and forgiveness enough for every child of Adam that ever breathed there, and enough besides for a million times more.
And I may be a partaker of said mercy?
Of course. The king of this place is in the business of saving souls.
Why then doth rumor have it that the king is stern and pleased to make the way to his city difficult?
Ah, 'tis not the king, but the enemy of souls that doth hedge up the way with such lies as these. But only believe, and thou mayest come off as more than conqueror.
Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief.
Now, come thou in.
Thank you.
Let a bundle of myrrh be given this damsel to smell, that she faint not again.
Christiana, look, I am let in.
I knew he would accept of you. Didn't I tell you, boys?
Glad we are to have you along with us, dear Mercy.
Why, thank you, Matthew. Happy I am to be along.
Sir?
Yes?
We want, all of us, to express sorrow for our sins of former times. We beg of our Lord his pardon.
Thy Lord is slow to anger and quick to forgive. Be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee.
Bless you, sir.
Yes, thank you.
Amen.
You are welcome. But we also wish to thank thee for bringing joy to us.
Joy?
Us?
Yea. Knowest thou not that there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents? And here we have not only one, but six.
Now I saw in my dream that he spake many good and kind words to them, by the which they were greatly cheered. He also had them up to the top of the gate, from whence they could see, afar off, a cross standing upon a skull-shaped hill, and there was one hanging thereon.
Oh, my Lord, is it for such as I that he doth suffer so?
Aye, this is the price that was paid for thy soul.
for thou art precious in his sight.
Oh, bless him, bless him.
Oh, that we might never forget the value of the human soul.
This skull-shaped hill is set in such a place as to be seen as well from the end of your journey as at the beginning.
Indeed? Why?
Because pride and self-worship can never take root in the soul that doth keep fresh in mind the scenes of Calvary.
Ah.
But come to the arbor. It is now bedecked with all manner of fruits and perfumes to strengthen you in your journey.
Ah, lovely it is. It seems as though we be come in at heaven's gate.
Nay, but this small arbor is only a wee token of that great feast yet to be. There at the marriage supper of the Lamb, you shall be served by the King himself. And dwell securely, and never more go out. But here you may partake of some of the grapes of that land, which do hang over the wall for your encouragement.
Then the keeper of the gate had them to his arbor while he went to prepare their meal.
We are in! Oh, how glad am I that we are got in!
I trow that you are not nearly so glad as I.
Why so say?
Why, let me tell you that when you were taken in and I was left behind, I thought, oh no, it is now fulfilled which was written. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left.
Indeed, I can understand your fears, for certainly appearances seem to be against you.
Oh, you cannot know. It was all I could do to keep from crying out, undone! Oh, all lost and undone! I was afraid to knock, but I was more afraid not to knock. Then I saw what was writ over the door, and I took courage. I said to myself that I must either knock again or die, and so I knocked. Or at least I think I did, for at that moment my spirit did faint within me.
Oh, thou didst knock indeed! I never heard such pounding in all my life. I thought you might use the staff to break down the door.
What else could I do? You were in and I out, and somewhere round about there was a most cruel dog seeking to attack me. What was my choice?
Ah, indeed.
But tell me, when I knocked so rudely, what did my Lord say? Was he not angry with me?
Nay, but to the contrary. When he heard that violent pounding upon the door, he gave a most wonderful and innocent smile.
What? A smile?
Yes. It seems to please him when his door is thus attacked.
Then perhaps it is true that the violent do take it by force.
Aye, but you are in now, and I am glad for us all. What think ye, boys?
Hip, hip,
hurrah!
Hip, hip,
hurrah!
Hip, hip,
hurrah!
Hurrah!
Hurrah! Hurrah! Praise God, we are in.
Yes, in.
Praise God.
But we must remember, children, that in the way is not the same as in the kingdom. There are yet trials ahead.
But hath he not promised that there shall no temptation come upon thee, but that there shall, with the temptation, be made a way of escape?
Aye, 'tis a saying sure and true.
Then I, for one, am determined to press forward towards the mark of my high calling. I intend to make my hope and election sure.
As do we all.
But what I wonder is that he keeps such a wicked-sounding dog about his gate. Oh, if I had known we would be meeting such an animal, I don't know, but that I would have kept me to my place.
I imagine 'tis for this cause that God doth not show us all of what lies ahead.
I suppose. But now we are in. We are in. And I am glad with all my heart.
Me too.
Christiana.
Yes, Mercy?
Do you think he would be upset with me if I ask him why he keeps such a filthy cur in his yard?
I would think not. What about you, children?
Ask him. Ask him.
Yes, do. He might bite us when we leave.
I think we should catch and hang the creature. 'Twould be an honor to our father's name to make the way easier for those who follow after.
I at least ask.
Now, at last, he came down to them again. And Mercy knelt before him with her face to the ground and said,
Let my Lord accept the sacrifice of praise, which I now offer him with my lips.
Peace be to thee. Stand up, Mercy.
Nay, righteous Lord, let me remain thus, for I have something to ask of thee.
Oh?
My question be this, my Lord. Since this is the beginning of the way that leads to the celestial city, why dost thou keep such a cruel dog in thy yard? For at the sight of him we were nearly ready to flee back.
Did you indeed see him?
Well, no, but in our imaginings he seemed to be some great monster.
Oh? And do not the beggars that go from door to door brave the hazards of a bawling, barking, and even biting dog in order to fill their belly with a mere crust of bread?
Yes.
Then shall a dog, penned up in another man's yard, and not even seen by thee, slow thee up from coming unto me?
Another man's dog?
Aye. The dog of which you speak is none of mine. He belongs to the owner of yonder castle. But since his property joins hard to mine, his dog can come right up to the walls.
Then I must confess my ignorance, my lord. I spoke according to appearances and not by wisdom.
He hopes, by the roaring and howlings of his cur, to send pilgrims packing again towards home. But as often as not, his barkings only cause pilgrims to knock all the more quickly.
As it did for us. I understand now that thou doest all things well, and that all things work together for good to them that love thee. Wilt thou forgive?
Aye. Peace be unto thee. And now stand thee up.
And so he washed their feet, and fed them, and treated them even as he had done to Christian before them. Then, having refreshed them, and given them instructions about their journey, he set them on their way. And so they six did walk on in comfortable weather with high courage. Now, along one side of the straight and narrow way was a stone wall. On the far side of said wall was an orchard that belonged unto him who was master of the barking dog. Now some of the fruit trees of that orchard were trained so that their branches did hang over the wall. The fruit of those trees was pleasant to the eye and fragrant to the nose, so that many that did pass that way did pause and eat thereof. Now Christiana would have passed by the fruit and not tarried, but that her boys, as boys are apt to do, paused to behold.
Mama, look! Such pretty fruit!
'Tis none of ours, boys. Best to keep on.
But Mama, it smells good.
Here, if I can climb up the wall a bit, I can bend a branch down.
Boys!
Can you reach it, Matthew?
Got it. Here, James. I'll hand them down to you till you have a hat.
All right.
There you go.
Hand some to me, Matthew.
I'm the one with the hat.
I have big pockets.
Now, there'll be enough for both of you. Here you go.
Look, Mother, isn't it pretty?
Tis such fruit as I have never seen at market.
Nor I.
Best to leave it be, lads.
But 'tis already picked. Is it not a sin to waste?
Was that not a question to have asked before you took that which was not yours?
Tastes good. Want some, Mother?
Not I, thank you. We have just eaten our fill at the king's table. Therefore, what you eat is out of pleasure and not need.
What's wrong with that?
The wise man saith, Blessed art thou, O land, when thy princes eat in due season, for strength and not for drunkenness.
Moreover, boys, the trees are growing in the garden of the man that owns the fierce dog.
Uh-oh. Here, Matthew.
What's the matter?
I don't want nothing that grows in that garden.
Me neither. Here.
Bah, you are cautious overmuch. But I'll warrant you that his fruits be more pleasant to the tongue than was his dog to the ear.
Did not Eve say the same?
I see no connection.
No matter. They are not ours to eat.
If you ask me, the owner of that vile dog owes us this fruit in payment for the fright which his dog gave us.
Oh, boys, boys, I fear that although you are in the way with me, your hearts are partly back in the city. What would your father say? Come, Samuel, follow your younger brothers and obey your poor mother.
Well, all right. Here, Matthew.
You're sure? They taste like honey.
Yes, I'm sure.
Then I thank you.
So did Christiana speak with them. But the eldest, seeing only with his eyes, could see nothing but good in the fruit, and so passed on, eating and throwing the rinds along the roadside.
Are you sure you don't want some, Mother?
I am sure.
Mercy?
Nay, but the memories of our recent refreshment is too sweet to be washed away with forbidden fruit.
Now they had gone on only about 2 bow shots or so from the gate when they espied 2 ill-kempt men coming down quickly towards them. With that, the women covered themselves with their veils and so kept on their journey. Now, when the 2 men were come up to them, they stopped and made as though they would embrace them as familiar friends.
Excuse me.
Nothing to excuse yet.
I meant, please let me pass.
Aye, we'll let thee pass, all right, when we are done with thee.
Stand back, I say. Oh, let me go.
Soon enough.
Stop this. We be pilgrims.
Ah, pilgrims they are.
Just the sort we appreciate most, eh?
Aye.
Take off thy hands and be gone. Let me go. Ah!
Say now, with thy veil off, thou art a fair one to see. Hey, how looks thy friend?
Let me see.
Stop!
Not so young or fair as thine.
That's what you get for letting thy hands run ahead of thine eyes.
Stand off! We are but poor pilgrims who ourselves must live off the charity of our friends. Therefore, we have no money to give thee.
We ask not for money, but for a bit of thy time.
Nay, we shall not hear nor yield. Our business is a matter of life or death to us, and we are in haste. Come, Mercy, I cannot. Let me go, sir.
In due time.
Help! Murder!
Nay, 'tis not your life that we would have.
So now I see. You would have us to become as vile as yourselves and thus steal our souls instead. Boys, pull their coats.
Yeah.
Thou canst not expect our purpose to be slowed by little children.
Ow!
Samuel!
Well struck, mate.
You let my mother go.
Stop it.
Makes things more interesting, don't you think?
Matthew!
What?
Help us!
Watch out for the big one. He looks as if he could do thee some harm.
Hey, look what's in his pockets.
Ah, good.
Help!
Shut him up.
Come here, wee one.
Indeed I shall.
Ow! He's biting me! Ow! Off, lad!
James! Help! Murder!
Come, be thou quiet.
No! Murder!
Quiet.
I will be quiet when my blood be drained upon the cobblestone.
Before that, I'll wager thee.
Wait. Do I not know thee?
Nay.
Yea, but I do, although I cannot place where we have met. Unhand me! Murder! Help!
Quiet.
Nay, but in the name of him whose child I am, I call for relief.
Need not speak that name.
Yea, but I do. By the prince of this country, I call for help. Help.
Help.
Murder. Murder. Help.
Help.
What goes there?
Help.
Curses.
You should have stopped her mouth.
How was I to know she'd call on his name?
She's a pilgrim, ain't she? Should have stopped her mouth right off.
She would have just called out in her mind anyway.
Stop. Unhand these women.
Come on, this party has no happy ending for us.
Sorry to disappoint thee, miss. Perhaps another day.
Oh, wait.
Vile wretch!
What are you doing there, knaves? Would you make my people transgress my laws?
Hurry! Come on! Up over the wall with you!
Give thy hand! Hurry! If help catch me, I'll never be free again!
Up!
Ha!
Back!
Nay, but I'll come over this wall and chase thee to thy master's house.
Sicken boy!
You are sane?
One day, one of these pilgrims will call sooner, and I shall bind thee both in the pit.
Unlikely that is. Now get thee down before I help this dog up over the wall.
You ladies all right?
Aye, a bit frightened, but all right. Thanks to thee. We were nigh to be overcome, though. It is good that you came when you did.
It's a shame I came as late as I did.
But did you not come as soon as you were called?
Aye, but I am surprised that you, being but weak women and having no protection, did not request my services as an escort.
An escort? Might we have had one?
Of course. Then these ruffians would have stayed on their side of the wall and never troubled you.
Alas, we were enjoying your master's hospitality so much that we completely forgot about future troubles.
Besides, who would have thought that such evil ones as these could lurk so near our king's palace?
Ah, you must ever remember that no matter how far you go in your journey, evil will ever be only one step to the side.
Which side?
Either side.
You are right. We should have asked. But it doth seem that our lord, knowing of the danger, would have sent you along with us as a matter of course.
Nay, for it is part of our Lord's policy to grant us, in answer to the prayer of faith, that which he would not otherwise bestow.
Indeed?
Aye. For if something be not worth the asking, it is held in small esteem by those that receive it.
Ah, I see. And if we ask and receive, then we will value it as we ought.
Exactly.
Then we will be much more free in our askings henceforth.
And in thus doing, you will enable him to be much more free in his givings.
But are we not in danger of out-asking him?
Nay, the fact that you receive a rich gift today is but the promise of a still richer gift tomorrow. Therefore, ask that your joy may be full.
We shall. But tell us, should we return and confess our neglect?
Nay, but I will convey it for thee.
But can we not go back with thee and request thy presence henceforth?
Nay, for the time of asking is past.
Ah.
But at thy next stop, remember that he is eager to hear thy requests, and that it is a poor thing that is not worth asking for.
We shall, brave helper.
And now, adieu.
Goodbye.
Farewell, good sir.
Thank you.
My, glad I am that we were close to help.
Aye. Ah, for a moment I thought we had come to our Kadesh Barnea.
And here I thought ourselves to be past all dangers.
So might you well believe in your youthful innocence. But I knew better. Before I left my house, I knew better.
How so?
Remember that I thought I had seen these foul ones before?
Yes.
I remember me now where. 'Twas in my dream. These were the two that stood at the foot of my bed and plotted how they might send me packing back to destruction.
Indeed?
Aye. From this I should have known to ask for help right off.
Vile wretches. May their master torment them for their failure.
Are you boys all right?
Just a bruise.
I'll be all right.
And me?
Matthew?
I'm fine, I guess. Just feeling a bit dizzy.
Well, let's be off on our march. We have miles to travel ere rest be ours.
Forward, men.
Christiana?
Yes, Mercy?
Why do you think Matthew did not come to our aid? He is a strong man.
Oh, I know not. 'Tis a mystery to me. For certainly the others were brave enough. I hope his heart be not turned back.
I think not. But somehow he is not the same.
Aye, he must needs bear watching.
Aye.
But meanwhile, let us rejoice that in spite of our neglect,
God has shown the richness of his grace and delivered the prey from the mighty.
Amen.
So they encouraged their hearts in the Lord as they traveled, and in process of time, they found themselves at the house of the interpreter.
Yes?
We understand this house to be a special place where pilgrims are refreshed.
Yes.
We be such ones ourselves and would request a night's lodging. For as thou seest, the day is far spent, and my eldest son is especially weary with our journey.
And pray, what may I call your name, that I may tell it to my lord within?
My name be Christiana. I was the wife of that pilgrim that...
Wait here! Master, you will never guess who is at the door.
Well, we have been expecting...
Christiana, and her children, and a fair companion. Come greet them.
I, with a glad heart. Help me up. Give me my cane.
Cook, butler, come see. Christiana is come indeed.
Christiana?
I am thy humble servant.
Art thou indeed that Christiana whom that good man Christian left behind him when he betook himself to a pilgrim's life?
I am that same hard-hearted one who slighted my husband's troubles and then left him to go on his journey alone. And these are his four children. But now I am come, for I am convinced that no way is right but this one.
Then thou art a fulfillment of that which is written about the man that said to his son, Go work today in my vineyard. And he said to his father, I will not. But afterward he repented and went.
So be it. Amen. God make it a true saying upon me, and grant that I may be found of him at the last, in peace, without spot, and blameless.
But why standest thou thus at the door? Come in, thou daughter of Abraham. Come, children, come in, come in, come, come, maiden, come in.
So he had them all into the house. Now, when they were all within, they were bidden to sit down and rest a while. Then came the members of the household, and looked lovingly upon them, and spoke unto them words of peace. After a while, because supper was not ready, the interpreter took them into his various rooms, where there were lessons to be learned. He showed them marvelous things, which, in my former work about Christian, I have showed thee in some great detail. Therefore, that I weary thee not, I will refer thee to that former work to refresh thy memory. I saw that after these things the interpreter had her into a room where was an old bent man with a muck rake in his hand.
Straw and muck, muck and straw, oh, how dreary.
Over his head was an angel with a celestial crown in his hand. Now the angel did follow him about as if offering to place the crown upon his head and thus make him a prince in the kingdom of the realm. But the man paid him no heed.
Oh, weary, dreary, my life is so uncheery. Sticks and straws, dust and muck.
Friend, look up.
Ah, there be a flea. I must needs kill it, lest it multiply and suck the world dry of all its blood. Ah, missed him, wretched little beast. He will likely spread the plague.
Friend, look up.
And what is this? A molehill. Oh, no. Oh, the gardens, the gardens. What shall become of the flowers? 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 Where are the flowers?
Friend, there are flowers on the hillside all around thee. Only look up from the works of darkness.
Oh, there are no flowers in this place. Only fleas and molehills, sticks and straws, dust and this eternal muck, which I must eternal rake with this infernal muck rake. Oh, weary, weary, my life is so weary.
Dost thou understand what thou seest, Christiana?
This man seems like many a man of my home city. He, like they, longs for something better, but can only look down at the things of this earth.
Aye. And what more?
Well, it seems that the angel is quite eager to give him a celestial crown, but the man cannot hear him.
Nay, will not hear him. He has ignored his call so many times that though his ears are good, he hears not.
Then he does not believe that the voice is for him.
Aye, when once the things of earth do capture our eyes, we count crowns and kingdoms as the dreams and fables of deluded weaklings.
Indeed. But do tell, why are the man's clothes so filthy? He has mud caked upon his hands and knees. Sticks and straws seem to hang everywhere upon him. Why, it doth seem that he should turn the rake upon himself to get clean.
'Tis a law of life that by beholding we become changed. This man, in beholding the straws and sticks, has become quite like them. Oftentimes, he lays down to search out a flea or a louse, and from a distance, one can scarce tell that he is there.
Oh, let me never become such a one as this. May the Lord deliver me and mine from this muckrake.
That prayer is so seldom prayed that it is nigh to be forgotten. The wise man prayed, "Give me not riches," but it is scarce the prayer of one in 10,000.
Aye, 'tis true. Wood, hay, and stubble seem to be the life goal of nearly everyone I know, to the neglect of heavenly things. But tell me, can this man never hope to look up and see that which is but inches from his head?
Christiana, canst thou not see that he is all bent and stooped from looking ever at the earth?
Yes, but there must be some way to direct his gaze upwards.
Look, what do you see over yonder?
Oh, why, 'tis a pool of water, and it lies still as a mirror.
Were the muckraker to go thither, he could see the celestial glories that lie so close overhead. But he avoids the place like the plague.
Why?
Because there the ground is clean.
Nothing to complain about?
Aye.
Ah.
Furthermore, the reflecting pool doth show him back himself, a sight from which he doth shrink as from an apparition or a ghost. So, to answer thy question further, God hath made it easy, even in his bent condition, to see the kingdom. But he cannot bear the sight. Therefore, he continues searching in the dust.
Ah, weary, dreary. My life is so uncheery. Sticks and straws and sticks. Dust and muck and dust.
Then this man's case is as hopeless as that of the man in the cage, or the dreamer.
Aye, and that by their own choice. Come.
So he had them into the very best room in the house, and bade them look about to see if they could find anything profitable. Then they looked round and round, but there was nothing unusual to be seen anywhere. Only there was a very great spider on the wall, but this they overlooked.
Well?
Sir, I see nothing.
Boys?
Nothing, sir.
Look again.
Sir, there is nothing here, except an ugly spider who hangs by her hands upon the wall.
Is there but one spider in all this spacious room?
Then the water stood in Christiana's eyes, for she was a woman of quick understanding.
No, my lord, not just one.
I don't see any other spiders, Mama.
There be 7, child.
Where?
I, for one, be a spider. And with my venom and sting, I did injure he whom I should have loved most and best. Oh, wicked woman that I am.
This made Mercy blush, and the boys to lower their heads, for they all began now to understand the riddle.
Then thou hast seen thyself here?
Aye.
Aye.
But Dost thou not see reason to take heart?
The spider is in the very best room of the house.
And so may you be. By faith you can lay hold of and dwell in heavenly places.
But our sinful hearts...
Look out yonder window. What see thee?
Why, 'tis the skull-shaped hill.
That is the place where thou must look. Not at thy sinful hearts. Remember the muckraker.
By beholding, we become changed.
Aye. If thou wouldst become like him, then him thou must behold. Come.
He had them then into the yard, where there was a hen, and her wee ones following after her.
Watch these chickens, and see what thou dost learn. What seest thou?
I see, sir, that every time one of them goes to the fountain for a drink, she doth take the water in her bill and lift her head towards heaven.
And the lesson?
When we partake of heaven's bounties, we should also look towards heaven, whence they be come.
Well said. Look yet more. Well?
The mother hen seems to have many types of calls.
Yeah?
First, there is the common call that she uses to reassure her chicks all the day long.
And what means it?
I suppose it must be like the Spirit of God, which is ever with us, to let us know that we are never alone.
Yeah, and what else?
Well, there is her feeding call, by which she beckons them to some new morsel which she would share with them.
And the lesson?
Well, that God doth call us to feed upon the dainty morsels of his word.
Well said, Matthew. And you, Joseph, what hearest thou?
Hath a brooding call, by which she calleth her chickens to come under her wing.
And the lesson?
God also hath a brooding call, by which he invites us to rest under his wing.
I see a lesson.
Yes, James?
When there is danger, God hath a special outcry to warn us to flee and hide under his wings.
Well said, James. And how doth God give his outcry?
I don't know.
Is it not by the promptings of his Spirit upon our hearts?
Yes.
And also by the words of Scripture, which do come to mind when we are in danger of making a wrong choice.
Aye.
Might it not also be by the chastening of his prophets, which from time to time do walk among us?
Aye. Well said, all of you. I can see that your mother hath improved your travel time with much wholesome instruction. Come.
With that, he had them into the slaughterhouse, where the butcher was killing a sheep. And behold, the sheep was quiet, and took her death with patience.
Oh, poor lamb!
There are deep lessons here, for my heart feels as if it were to break.
Aye. This is the Lamb of God, which opened not his mouth whilst his enemies slew him, by tortures most terrible.
Oh, to see him portrayed in this lamb thus, how it makes me to love him the more.
Aye, but this lamb doth also portray thyself. See how quietly she takes her death, and how, without objecting, she suffereth her skin to be pulled over her ears.
Aye.
Your king doth call you his sheep.
Then as this lamb is patient under sufferings and wrongs, so must I endure without murmur or complaint.
Aye, thy master hath been made perfect by suffering before thee, and thou canst be sure the servant is not greater than his Lord.
Then by his grace I shall be like Job, who said, "Yea, though he slay me, yet will I trust him."
Thou hast well said, Christiana. Come out to the garden,